Imagine yourself training through some of the most grueling runs that you've put together. You've done them before, but you know they're a challenge. And on top of that, a mental block sneaks in around mile 16 or 17, and this is the most challenging part of the race for you. And we've all been there. We've all had mental blocks in different areas and different parts of our lives. Here specifically, when it comes to running, getting through that mental block is so very challenging. Now consider signing up. You know what's coming. You're in the race. Mile 16, mile 17 is coming up. And it's a challenge. You know it's coming. But you also know that you have a couple friends that have told you, they've committed, they're going to be there for you to help you get through that most challenging part of the race. And I feel like having that security blanket, having that commitment, having that support there for you makes a world of difference. So what happens? They help you get through that challenging part of the race. They help you ultimately finish the race. And that was your goal. That's what you knew you had to do to accomplish this race. Now, I enjoy this interview because Charlie's going to talk about making meaningful connections. I feel like that's the main message coming at you from this interview. And there's so many different types of messages. And I love this one because it's just as important. It's not Charlie here talking about how he's working towards his fastest run or his best run. Everyone's going to be talking about something different on these running podcasts. And this one here in particular, it's about making meaningful connections. It's about putting that cell phone down and having an uninterrupted conversation. It's about having that support that so many of us want and need in our lives, and having conversations through long runs and making connections and creating meaningful relationships in our lives. Because I almost feel like, as you're here in the interview, it's almost like a lost art. How many times do we sit across from someone anymore, and instead of picking up our phone or messaging from a computer? And it's really those conversations, it's really that meaningful connection that makes all the difference in the world. And it really gives us something to look forward to, especially if you're part of a running community, especially if you know you have a group that you can lean on for support to be there mentally. They're going to pull you through the physical challenges, the mental challenges. And Charlie's going to talk about at least one of his most challenging races as of recently. He had that support. He had people show up for him and with him that wouldn't let him down, which helped him finish the race because he didn't want to let them down. I think it's so valuable to have those meaningful connections, those people in your lives that can pick you up, they can lift you up, especially during the most challenging times of your life. This is Drew, and you're listening to the Transformations Through Running podcast. Before we get into the show, just a quick word about TriMag. This is our liquid magnesium supplement. We designed this product ourselves at TrueForm. We decided to go with a liquid magnesium form because it's the most absorbable you can find on the market. We have three different forms of magnesium that we put together that we call our TriMag All-Stars. We also have potassium in here as well. This is a fantastic product to help with muscle recovery. It's going to help those aches and pains, and it's also going to help you sleep better, which will also help those sore muscles recover better for your next long run. More details are at trueformlife.com/TriMag Magnesium Supplement. All right, welcome to another edition of Transformations Through Running. I am super excited to have another guest with us here today. Welcome to the show, Charlie.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on today.
It's our pleasure. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to be here with us and share your story and maybe some of your transformations through running. Charlie, let's take a step back here. Could you share with our audience a little bit about yourself, maybe so they can learn who they're listening to? And I'd imagine some of them are going to get a chance to resonate with you as well.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. So a little bit about myself. I grew up not here in California, where the weather is perfect, but on the East Coast in Connecticut. And when I graduated from high school, I decided I was done with shoveling snow. So I took off and kept on progressively moving west as I went through college and my first jobs until I ended up on here in the West Coast about 15 years ago. I've had to leave since then and come back for work, I've worked with the same employer for 20 years, actually 20 years this month, and I've had a good opportunity to move around with them to a lot of different locations and do lots of different work with them, which has been fantastic. I'll stop short of naming my employer since we're doing a podcast here, but needless to say, it's a large employer in Torrance, and they've taken care of us well. So about 12 years ago, I guess 12 years ago now, I married my lovely wife, Molly. And we have two kids that are 5 and 7, and they just make my day. I make it easier to get up in the morning and go to work and do what I do because I have this terrific family at home. You know, over that 15 or so years that I've been here in Torrance, it's become home. You know, I've turned down the opportunity to leave Torrance over the last couple of years. And some of that is driven by the fact that we love being here. And a big part of loving being here for me has been being a member of the running community, having the opportunity to run with a couple of different groups and some great coaches. You know, honestly, I kind of joke with my friends from other parts of the country that, you know, here it is December or January, and I'll still be outside running on the beach, and they're back home, you know, bundled up in scarves and hats. And although we'd like to think of winter being kind of like White Christmas in the movies, in actuality, and I think, Drew, you know this because you were in Canada, right? Winter is much uglier than that. It's dirty snow on the side of the road. It's salt where I was from, rock salt and sand, and your cars are dirty all the time, and your back aches from shoveling. And, you know, I don't have to deal with that anymore, right? Like now, you know, sometimes it might rain in January, and you know, that's the worst thing I have to deal with when I'm out running. So I don't miss any of that, and I just have absolutely loved being here.
Yeah, I can resonate on so many levels. That's awesome. And it's funny here, at least at the time of this recording, we're recording here at the end of September, and in Canada, people are already talking about bundling up. And for us, it's like, oh, it's a cloudy day today. So I'm like, oh, it's kind of nice to have a break from the sun today.
I work with a woman who is from Minnesota, and just this morning she was telling me she was going home for this weekend and was looking forward to like apple picking and wearing scarves and doing those things. But there was clearly I've got a couple of months where I can do this before I have to go back and deal with real weather. So I'm going to get it out of the way now.
Yeah, we're so fortunate to have – it's got to be some of the best weather in the world here. I want to take a step back here. There's a couple things – other similarities we have. I have family in Connecticut, which is pretty cool. And we visit there, try to get there once a year. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then your family sounds pretty awesome. Are you looking for any roommates?
I think my wife's going to cut me off from adding anybody else to the house. The kids take up a lot of space, or at least their stuff takes up a lot of space.
Okay, I just wanted to double check in case you're looking for any roommates there. All right, Charlie, let's get into some of your running. I'm sure you got some running stories for us. Tell us how you began, or maybe why did you begin running in the first place?
So I'm a late bloomer. So I was thinking about this as we were preparing to have our conversation. And I was like, what's my earliest running memory? When did this all kind of start for me? And so I have kind of a false start to running. And I'll start there, and then I'll go into, you know, how it became what it is for me today. So my sophomore or junior year of high school, the school decided to do a 5K for the first time. And it was, if not 100% students and faculty, it was pretty close to that number. I don't know that there was a lot of folks from the public. And I had never run in my life. I mean, beyond like playing sports and being out in the field and things like that, I'd never done a concentrated run of any distance at all. And, you know, in my 15 or 16 year old brain, I was like, well, how hard can it be? Right. So I went out and I did this 5K, and I will tell you, because one of my friends told me, for about the first 100 meters, I really stuck with the pack. I did a good job of getting out to a fast start. And I think I got around that first corner and my brain started to go, wait, how long is this that I have to run? And I'm pretty sure that first day took me well over, 45 to 50 minutes to finish the 5K course. And I think I said at that point, you know what, I'm all right. I don't necessarily need to do this. It's not for me. And so I let that sit. And, occasionally in college, I'd go out for a short run with friends or try to do some track work or something. But, it was not what I was doing for physical activity. I was doing soccer and softball and things like that. And so when I moved to California for the first time, I was in a department of folks who were runners. And part of that had to do with, again, without naming my employer, although I think people put two and two together here, I was working for an employer that was a large sponsor of the LA Marathon. And because they were a large sponsor of the LA Marathon, there were perks to doing the race. There were certain things that we got, there were discounts that were applied and things like that. And so I had a lot of people who were preparing to do the marathon and they were just running and they were playing soccer and football and everything else with me. And they said, Charlie, maybe you should come back out and try some of these races with us. Come out and do some short distance runs and races and things. And lo and behold, I got out there and trained for this one, learned a little bit about running, and found that I really liked that short distance. The 5K to 10K for me was a very comfortable distance, and I could do it well. And so I continued doing that, and even got as far as doing a half marathon at one point. And I thought, this is good for me. This is what I'd like to do. And then just as my wife and I are preparing to get married, we're about 2 years out, and she works for the same employer. And I said, I'm kind of thinking about maybe it's time for me to do a marathon. And she kindly reminded me that we had a wedding to plan for. And so I said, come on, why don't you do it with me? And that'll give us something to do as we plan for the wedding. And she said, I will agree to do it, but I have no interest in running a marathon, but I will go walk the marathon with you to say that I've completed it. And you can say you've completed it. I think she thought probably that would end my obsession with running. And so we did. We walked a marathon together. And I got to tell you, it's one of the things, my fondest memories of doing marathons, of being a runner, even though it wasn't necessarily a running experience, because my wife and I would go for these walks on Saturday morning, 15, 18, 20 miles as we were preparing to get married. And we spent a fair amount of time doing wedding planning and doing all the checklist stuff you're supposed to do. And there was some upside to that in that, and I'm sure family's going to listen to this, but family didn't want to go for 20 mile walks with us, so they didn't have as much say in what went into the actual wedding. We got to plan it ourselves, and in a lot of ways, that brought us even closer together than we were. So we finished the marathon, and I kind of decided that was not enough, and so we had moved away at that point, and I found myself in Dallas, and in Dallas, I met my first running group. I decided I was going to run a half marathon. I wanted to train with somebody. And so I joined the Dallas Running Club, which is just a fantastic organization. And they trained me to run the Oklahoma City Half Marathon, which is the Memorial Marathon, a race that I would recommend to many people. They do it in honor of the victims for the bombing that happened there in 96, an event that I was in Oklahoma at the time. I was in college, and so I was 40 minutes from when that happened. So having the opportunity to run the memorial, was not only good from a running perspective, but from a personal perspective, it was good to be out on that course and be with people who were survivors or family members of that event. And that kind of gave me the bug. But what it helped me with more than anything else was it introduced me to this world of group running. It introduced me to being with a team while I was out there. It made the sport much more social for me, which helped a lot. I'm a bit of an extrovert, and I kind of thrive off of other people's energy. And so I met a fantastic group, people that I stay in touch with to this day, and this is 10 years later. And I got to work with this amazing coach named Pat. And Pat had kind of shared her story with me or with us as a group, which kind of went back to some challenges she had faced personally and how running had helped her get out of that. It helped her sustain a healthier lifestyle. And one of the things that always struck me about her story was she said, you know, when I was going through these struggles, the medical professionals had said, you need to have a physical activity and you need to stick with it to really sustain these life changes you've made. And she said she started running and she hated it. She hated it right up through her first race, right? And she didn't want to do it. She had to drag herself out of bed. She had to motivate herself knowing that she had to do it. And over time, that went from that gruel of getting out of bed to the point where she can train other people to do it because she loved the sport so much. And that inspired me to try to share my love with it, of the sport, with other people as I went. So fast forward a couple of years from there, I find myself back in California again, and I come across the Los Angeles Roadrunners who train people to do the LA Marathon. And so I joined that group. And I have the same experience. I get these wonderful people I get to get together with on Saturday mornings and go for these 18, 20-mile runs and have, you know, great conversations and get to know about people's lives and people that are in different stations than me and people that are at different paces than I am and people who have different lives than I do. And I get to hear all of their stories and, you know, they get to hear my stories. And it makes the whole thing kind of worthwhile, right? You know, because you're not only getting the running piece of it, but you're getting to know more about the people in your community and know that running isn't just for one type of person, that we're all very different. It's that one place where, you know, maybe your political differences can be set aside and your religious differences can be set aside, because really when it comes down to it, you've got one goal in mind and none of those things matter. You're all working towards kind of the same thing. So that's kind of my journey into running and how I've kind of ended up where I am here today.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Like, I think that many times we don't consider those running communities and how meaningful they can be and how life-changing. I really liked how you talk about you can have those conversations and you really get a chance to, like, you're running for hours at times with people and you get a chance to learn about them personally. I feel like that's almost like sitting down across from someone and having a coffee or tea. I almost feel like that's a lost art. Like, it doesn't happen anymore. So for you guys to be able to be active and having these meaningful conversations, it's so many benefits to that.
It absolutely is. I've had, with the groups that I've run with, and now that I'm with LA Roadrunners specifically, I'm on season 6 or 7 with them. And, you know, every year there's a small group that remains the same, but there's a lot of turnover as well with these groups. And I've had chances to run with people who have run 20 plus marathons, and I've had chances to run with people who are doing their first marathon, people that are in their 50s and 60s and people that are in their 20s. And I get to hear from, you know, people who are much younger than me, the millennials, you know, the grueling world of dating via apps, right? And which I have never experienced. I have been married for a very long time. And then I get to talk to people who are sharing stories about their kids graduating from college and, you know, getting their first grandchildren. And it really is. It's just a cross-section of life all brought together at the same time and learning so much about people.
So have you, from the running perspective, how often do you go out and run with, do you always run with the group or do you run on your own sometimes?
It's a combination of the two. The long runs I always go with the large groups, or at least as much as I can. You know, there's the occasional, you know, birthday party, wedding, whatever that you, or you travel where you miss a run and you do it by yourself. But I prefer those long runs with the groups. Okay. I tend to run 3 to 4 times a week. This week I'm on a bad ankle, so it's no running since last Saturday when I rolled my ankle. But I tend to do 3 to 4 times a week. I try to make 2 of those group runs, especially during marathon training season. There'll be the one large group run with Roadrunners. And then South Bay Running Club has a hills training run on Tuesday morning that I try to get out to. And that's a great opportunity to get the workout in before the day really starts. So I try to do that. But I think that leads into something, and maybe you're gonna ask about this, or we can talk about it more. you know, you listen, you've heard a lot of people's running stories, and there are people that do amazing things with running. I'm sure you've talked to some runners that run 6 days a week, and on that seventh day, they're cross training. And people who run marathons sub 3 hours or 3 hours and 15 minutes. And, you know, I always find that fascinating. And I struggled with that for a while because that's not my story. That's not how I've identified with running. My story has always been about trying to make sure that I can still have my family life, some school that I'm going to right now, and that I could sustain my fitness. And so my fitness goals have always been different. It's not about running a sub 3 hour marathon for me. It's about getting in miles and making sure that I'm doing some distance and that I'm getting the health benefits about being out and running. And it's just helpful to be able to do that with people.
Yeah. And it seems like it's important for you to make those meaningful connections. That was one of the things that stood out when you were explaining what it was like to run with the group like that. I feel like so many times we're stuck behind computers for the day. Like many entrepreneurs work by themselves as they're working for themselves, or the only time you get a chance to see your coworkers is, you know, a few minutes before work or in the staff room. But to have the actual time to sit down with someone and have those deep conversations, I just feel like they don't happen anymore.
They don't. I'll share a story that happened to me and it happened to a friend recently, just outside of running, but I think it relates back to this. I went to a concert recently, and the band on stage kept on asking people to put their cell phones away, right? And saying, you know, this event's only going to happen once. And so you should be in the moment and experience it while you're here, right? You're probably not going to go home and watch that video you're taking on your phone, even though you think that may be the case. So take the opportunity to be here. And I was talking to a friend about that, and she said, you know, I had a similar experience. She had gone to Vegas and saw Bruno Mars, and they actually were required to put their cell phones inside of bags. So they couldn't even have their phones out during the concert. And, you know, rarely do you, when you're running with people, do you see somebody taking out their phone and texting or like calling somebody. You know, you might have somebody listening to music, although I find that that's becoming less of a thing, especially with groups, right? Most people want to use that time to talk, so they don't necessarily put the headphones in. Now, I do notice a lot of people put the headphones in around mile 15 because it starts to become more difficult. You want to get, you know, in your head and be able to concentrate on what's going on in the run. But you're right. It's one of those few times that we're not in front of a screen, that we don't have the social media world in front of us, or we don't have the internet in front of us.
Yeah. I love that. And for me, like, I'm not a huge phone person. I mean, don't get me wrong. I use phones and I understand the benefits, especially when running a business. But when you sit down and have a conversation with someone, it's so like, it's become normal now. Like before, I feel like it was almost disrespectful. And then I think slowly it's becoming like normal. Like you're sitting down having a conversation with someone and the phone dings and it's just like natural and normal to be like, oh, 1 second, I need to check this. And I feel like that's unfortunate. But in this situation, like when you guys are actually talking and running and having conversations, I'd imagine it's very rare, if it happens at all, when someone's like, sorry, hold that thought, and they pull out their mid-stride, they pull out their phone to answer a text message.
No, it's those rare circumstances of like you're a parent with young children and, you know, the spouse is calling and, you know, something's happened. It's those kinds of things. It's rarely, you know, where are we meeting for breakfast? Right.
Right.
I'll figure that out when I get back. That's fine.
For sure.
So, yeah, I think that's a big part of running and running in a community is that it forces you to do the things that we naturally did before the age of smartphones and things like that, which is to create those connections with people.
And so you're running half marathons or marathons on a regular basis, semi-regular basis? How would you?
I've made the LA Marathon my annual run. And so I generally train from this time of year up through March, and then I'll do some half marathons and shorter distance races over the summer. Into spring and summer, if I can find something that fits into the schedule. But generally about one marathon a year. Every year I attempt to get into one of the world marathons. I have struck out so far. I have not gotten into New York or London or Tokyo or anything, Chicago even, by lottery. But I try every year to do that and think about running another race. But I like the marathon distance. People have asked me about doing a try or doing an ultra or something like that, and maybe at some point in my life that happens, but for me right now the marathon is the perfect distance. It requires training, right? It requires you to get out and do work, but not so much so that I have to interrupt the other parts of my life to a large degree.
And then, so sometimes I like to ask this question to runners. Like, I think at any level, whether you're running a 5K or an ultra, there's a memory when we look back where we had to dig deep, and whatever memory hangs on to us, how we pushed through and how we got to the next level when we likely thought we couldn't carry on. Do you have a memory of one of your runs where you maybe thought you weren't going to make it, or maybe you didn't make it and you want to share that with us? But any story like that resonates with you that you could share?
I do. I hope a good story, and I hope these two runners end up listening to this. Again, I won't use their names, but it's a recent story. So I ran the LA Marathon last year, and as I found out over the years, I have hit a hard wall no matter what happens. No matter what I do for training, no matter what I do to prepare myself, I have found that coming off of Rodeo Drive, which is about mile 17 or 18, that I have hit a hard wall almost every year. And at about that point, I end up losing my group. I find myself alone on the race, which makes it more complicated. And for anybody who's not run LA, that stretch of the run as you're coming off of Rodeo, what you find yourself onto is a stretch of about 2 to 3 miles where you don't have shade. There's no overpasses. You're just out on asphalt. If you're running my pace, you're there, 10:30 in the morning. So it started to warm up. And like I said, there's no shade, so the sun's just coming off of the asphalt. And then clearly I have a mental block that's causing me to have issue in that area. So this past year, I was doing a lot of Sunday running with South Bay Running Club, which I didn't mention earlier, but they're a fantastic group. And that's one of the runs I do try to make weekly, is that group run on Sunday morning with South Bay Running Club. And so two of the runners I was running with regularly were not going to run the marathon. They didn't have any interest in doing the marathon, but they asked if they could come out on Sunday morning. They usually run 6 miles, and they said, we'll run 6 miles with you during the course, and then we'll just jump off the course and you can finish the race. I hope, Drew, you're not going to get angry male now about bandits on the race course. But,
me too.
I know that's a whole topic. So they jumped on with me on Rodeo. And so even with them jumping on, I still hit a little bit of a wall. I really struggled through that stretch. And what really helped me this year over this year's, and by the way, this year I ended up PRing, is that, the two of them were aware of that block. They were aware of what I was going through because they're fellow runners. And they really, really helped me fight through that wall. They helped me get through the next couple of miles and to recover. They ended up staying on, I think, an extra mile with me to help me out. And by the time we got to the last mile, I was back almost at full speed, and I was able to run that last mile across the finish line, and actually ran into somebody else who was kind of a bandit in the last half mile, another friend who was going out and just supporting friends. I think she ran 200 yards with me, and then I finished the marathon, and I finished it very strong. And I really feel like the difference was this year for me was that I'm so used to running with group, so used to running in that community, that in the years that I found myself hitting the wall and without a group with me, without someone to share that experience with, someone to help pull me through, that I struggled. and having that community out there with me really helped me get over the bubble as much as I could, and helped me finish the race stronger than I had ever finished it before.
And what was going through your mind mentally when you those struggles happen and when you're trying to get through them?
The thought was that, you know, you're going to finish this. There's no option but to finish this. Even if you're dragging your foot across the finish line, we're going to finish this race. So that was going through my head. And then, you know, there's doubts, right? There's the doubts that go along with, you know, you trained all year, you know, maybe you start doubting your diet. You start wondering if you did enough speed work, you start wondering, you know, if you did enough distance work. And, you know, I rely pretty heavily on my homework and I do pretty good with it. But those are all the things that come into your head. And then there's the other voice. There's the angel on your other shoulder that's saying, you know, 3 weeks ago you were running 20 miles and you were finishing strong and you didn't have problems then. You know, you can do this distance. You can do this distance well. You've shown that to yourself in the past. And you need to remember that running is a very mental game. At some point, you're going to just have to overcome those blocks that come in. And so it does. It becomes a dialogue amongst yourself, right, to be able to do that distance and get over that last hump.
An internal mental battle with having these conversations, like you're going to fail or you're going to push through. Is that what it's like?
Absolutely. I think if you were just walking down the street on a normal day and someone saw you or saw me having that internal battle, they might think I was crazy. But in a marathon, there's, you know, 20 people right behind you that are doing the same thing. So it's perfectly acceptable there versus where it is anywhere else in the world.
I think you got a bit, and this is not to disrespect any of our running community, but I feel like you have to be a little bit crazy to be like runners, how you guys run at this level.
Absolutely. So I ran Ragnar once, or I ran Ragnar a couple times, which is a big relay race, right? Like a 200-mile, 12-member team race across Southern California. And one of the reasons I love running it is like the way people decorate their vehicles for these races. And I remember seeing a sign once, which I've seen at other races as well, that said, let's get up early and run really far. And it was in quotes. And then after it just said psychopaths. And like, there's some absolute truth to that. Who in the world says I'm going to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and then go run 20 miles? Like, wait, are you doing a race? No, I'm not doing a race. That just seems like what I need to do today.
Seems like a good idea.
Yeah. So you're right. There's a little bit of crazy that goes along with this.
And then we're going to wrap things up here right away. I just have maybe one or two more questions. One of them is how does those individuals help you get through that challenge? Is it the conversation? Is it just having someone there with you? Or is there something in particular of how they can help inspire or get you through that challenging part?
So one, I think the conversation helped. The two individuals in particular knew me really well. And so they kind of had a plan and they executed, right? So they had some really great ideas and I think they could work off me. So then and this is something I've discovered and it's something that I probably need to think through a little bit more there. Now I'm not just doing the race for myself. I'm doing the race for someone else. And, you know, not that they were counting on me to finish, but they, you know, they came out and they ran with me. So the least I can give to them is that I'm going to put my full effort in that they would come out and do this with me. So I think that's motivational. And I also think that the conversation is helpful. It's a distraction. It's something else to do besides thinking about the fact that your legs have now been out for 3.5 hours, 4 hours for me, you know, and they're ready to sit down. They certainly need some ice. You know, that wonderful blanket they hand you at the end. So the conversation helps distract you from some of that.
You know, I had no idea what I was getting into when I decided to start this podcast specifically for runners. And I got to tell you, I'm almost worried to ask the question of you know, can you tell us a challenging point in one of your runs? Because they're so emotional. Like, I find interview after interview, these stories that you guys are telling, I feel like I can feel myself getting choked up, but they're so inspirational for others, which is why I want to share them with so many other people. So, and I have no idea where these conversations are going before we sit down and talk about them, but each individual has such a unique story, and bringing a community together and talking about these meaningful connections and relationships. So I so much appreciate you coming on and sharing your perspective with us and your thoughts and everything it takes to get out there day in and day out to make it happen.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me on. I'm sure on the last one, was that a question? Do you want to hear about that challenging moment, or are we okay?
No, we're good. I think you answered it. I just wanted to show my appreciation for you coming on. Before we go, I mean, before we end this, I did want to ask you my last question here. Is there anything that I missed that you wanted to share, or if you have a message for our listening community here, you're welcome to share that now. Otherwise, I'm happy to wrap the show up.
You know, the one thing I'll share, and I think this is thematic to what I've talked about with you today, a running community is an amazing thing. It's being able to go out and be with people who want to do this like any other activity is amazing. And the best thing we can do as a running community is make sure other people know that community exists, right? For that runner who doesn't know that there's a group getting together at Thursday at 5 a.m. that they might come join in and work with, or they don't know that there's a Tuesday night track meeting for their group and the Saturdays and Sunday runs. I have found that the community in the South Bay is very good at that. They are constantly telling others about the opportunity to come out and run. And that's what helps build the community even more, right? Because there's plenty of people out there who would love to be doing this, would love to get off the couch and run. And their motivation, like mine, is tied to the fact that it's hard for them to do it by themselves. And so I just always encourage people to let others know when running comes up in conversation that this community exists and that it's welcoming and that people should come do it. And then I try to do the same thing myself. If someone is talking to me about running, I make sure that they know about the communities I know about, and I talk to them about the benefits of running in a community and how it can help somebody be more successful with what they're doing.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for another edition of Transformations Through Running. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sticking around till the end. We couldn't be more grateful for your support. If you do get a chance, we would love a review on iTunes. That definitely helps the show out. If you subscribe to the show, that helps out. And simply sharing the show with your friends or talking about it amongst your friends makes a big difference for us. Hopefully these shows and stories make a big enough change in your lives that you're willing to talk about them and share them with your loved ones and friends and family. Hopefully we can offer some inspiration. Hopefully we can make that change and help others learn that everyone can make a difference. Everyone can start and take the first step. And maybe your inspiration is finding like-minded people to help run with you, to help carry you on through challenges. Maybe it's just to make some meaningful connections and find people that can help inspire you and help lift you up in the time of need. One more time, a quick TriMag mention. This is our magnesium supplement. There are tons of health benefits. A natural boost of energy without the crash is one of them. Magnesium is naturally occurring in our body. You can also get magnesium from foods. We'll find a form of magnesium in every single one of our cells. Unfortunately, it's not enough. 80% of us are deficient in magnesium. This prevents us from living our optimal life. It prevents us from having energy, improved digestion, prevents us from feeling fantastic from day in and day out. The magnesium forms that we've put together, magnesium 3-in-8, for example, is great for mental clarity. It's great for brain health. It definitely helps with mood, depression, anxiety, along with exercise and running. So you can use it as a tool in your tool belt to help you live a healthy lifestyle in a number of different ways. You can find more details at trueformlife.com/TriMag Magnesium Supplement. Thanks again for being here. Hope to catch you on the next show.